The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
It's finally fall. The weather is cooling off, and there's no better time to upgrade your cookouts than right now. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. They have a huge menu of steaks and more. The process is convenient and quick, shopping delivered straight to your door. Every purchase is backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% unconditional guarantee. And right now, you can get the limited-time family grill pack for just $49.99. You get all of this. 2 5-ounce filet mignons, 2 5-ounce top sirloins, 4 4-ounce boneless pork chops, 4 3.5-ounce chicken fried steaks, 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs, 4 4-ounce Omaha Steak Burgers, 4 4-ounce Gourmet Jumbo Franks, a 16-ounce package of Omaha Steakhouse Fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, OS seasoning packet, plus 4 additional Omaha Steaks Burgers. Just for listening, Omaha Steaks is offering all of this for only $49.99. This is a huge savings. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter code FTN in the search bar, and add the Family Grill Pack to your cart. Don't miss this deal. Visit omahasteaks.com and enter code FTN in the search bar to get over 30 gourmet items for just $49.99.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup. Election Day is 1 week from this coming Tuesday. We're almost there. The focus for voters, basically Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. Polls all year have shown that the two major party candidates are disliked, distrusted, or both. We'll dive into that in a moment, including the FBI's surprise announcement Friday that it's looking again at Hillary Clinton's personal email server. Did it illegally hold classified information? Later, a series of reports on the issues in this year's campaign. Also, baseball. CBS's Steve Futterman covering the World Series in Cleveland and Chicago, both cities determined to end the curse of never winning.
The players and managers know all about the history. Cleveland manager Terry Francona couldn't care less.
I know that's a really cool thing for fans to talk about. It really doesn't enter into what we're doing.
And a lot more ahead on this Weekend Roundup. I'm Dan Revive at CBS News in Washington. This wouldn't be any fun. Okay, Donald Trump was obviously kidding at a Thursday evening rally in Ohio.
Just thinking to myself right now, we should just cancel the election and just give it to Trump, right? What are we even having it for? What are we having?
He said Hillary Clinton is that bad, and he says she's corrupt, jumping on the news Friday that the FBI is again looking at her personal email server, some new emails discovered by the FBI. The Bureau previously had criticized her handling of sensitive information, but decided not to prosecute. CBS's Major Garrett, traveling with Trump, reported on Tuesday that he highlighted new information on health coverage premiums under the Affordable Care Act.
Donald Trump greeted supporters in Sanford, Florida with characteristic gusto and looked for a political lifeline in the ongoing woes of Obamacare.
The rates are going through the sky. We all knew that. I knew it before it was passed.
The Obama administration said yesterday insurance premiums on the health care exchanges will rise by an average of 25% this year. In some states, premium increases will be much higher. The administration did say federal subsidies will go up to soften the blow. Trump warned Democratic rival Hillary Clinton will make matters worse.
She wants to put the government totally in charge of your health care. Despite the fact it's no good, it'll be much more expensive than even today.
Former President Bill Clinton said his wife would fix the law.
You keep what's good about the law and attack the problems. She's the only person you can vote for that wants to do that.
But Trump bungled his health care message at an event with employees of his Doral Golf Club.
All of my employees are having a tremendous problem with Obamacare.
The general manager of the course said most Trump employees have company-provided health coverage and not Obamacare.
That from Major Garrett this past Tuesday and Thursday in Ohio.
We found many union members in heavily Democratic Ashtabula County who said they were fired up to vote for Donald Trump. That's precisely the kind of support he will need if he intends to carry this battleground state.
Earlier in Toledo, Trump may have undercut his minority outreach with a 1970s-era slip of the tongue.
We're going to work on our ghettos. You take a look at what's going on. We're going to work with the African-American community, and we're going to solve the problem of the inner city.
That same day, Thursday, Hillary Clinton appeared on stage in North Carolina with perhaps the most popular Democrat these days. CBS's Nancy Cordes was there.
Is there anyone more inspiring than Michelle Obama? The combination of Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama, first ladies past and present, drew a Trump-like crowd of 11,000 in Winston-Salem.
Hillary Clinton is my friend.
Mrs. Obama was there to serve as character witness for Clinton in one of the most competitive battleground states.
Voting is our high. That's how we go high. We vote.
As Clinton campaigned, her aides were contending with fallout from the latest WikiLeaks revelation. A 12-page memo from 2011 outlining how Bill Clinton's top aides asked big corporate donors to the Clinton Foundation to offer President Clinton paid speeches as well, even though both Clintons have long insisted that the foundation was not a source of income.
On Friday, when the FBI director informed Congress new Clinton server emails are being looked at, CBS News correspondent Jeff Pegues contacted sources in federal law enforcement.
We're told that these emails that have been discovered are related to another unrelated case that they were looking at, and that's where these emails were discovered.
CBS News senior political editor Steve Chigaris commented on Friday.
This is going to be something that Hillary Clinton is going to be dogged by over the next 11 days. And why do I say that? It's because it's not going to be resolved before the election.
Let's follow up on all this with CBS News correspondent Stephen Portnoy. Trump insists he's optimistic. He's on an upswing that many polls don't recognize. And as for Clinton, she was plagued by all those WikiLeaks.
Well, as weeks for Donald Trump go, this was not a bad one relative to the really bad weeks he's had. It started out lousy, with polls showing him down to Hillary Clinton by as much as a dozen points, with the continued fallout from the debates and the Access Hollywood video. But we did see some stabilization in the numbers, with Trump's deficit in most of the daily tracking polls narrowing back to single digits. But the news of this week was much more focused on Hillary Clinton, and especially at the end of the week when we got the bombshell announcement from the FBI that they're going to dig back in to the Hillary Clinton emails.
Stephen, when it comes to the separate emails that were hacked from her campaign chairman John Podesta's account and then released by WikiLeaks, the Clinton campaign refuses to comment on what they reveal, the inner workings of the inner circle of Hillary and Bill Clinton.
That's right. The snarky, conniving, backbiting that goes on in Clinton world is put on full display in these stolen emails. And we've really begun to see from them just how nervous Clinton's inner circle was as the New York Times broke the news about a year and a half ago about her use of a private email server. While the aides publicly put on a bold, brave face that there was essentially nothing to see here, privately, we now know, they agonized over how to play it, with one longtime Clinton aide saying there is just no good answer. But it is interesting. The Clinton camp still hasn't acknowledged that these emails are authentic. They keep towing a line that they're the product of a Russian hack, saying that Donald Trump should stand up to it, and to Vladimir Putin. Trump himself won't even acknowledge the hack was Russian, and as we've mentioned, he is using these emails in his stump speeches.
Now, Stephen, you're our congressional correspondent, so what's the feeling about a possible change of control?
Republican operatives here in D.C. admit that it is possible, if not likely, that the GOP will lose Senate control. But they say that that probably would have happened regardless, because the GOP senators who are up for re-election this year, many of them were elected the first time in the Tea Party wave of 2010. Donald Trump at the top of the ticket does not help the Republican cause. Still, GOP operatives say it's possible they won't lose the Senate if just enough of the vulnerable incumbents hang on. As for the House, the Democrats would need to pick up 30 seats, and even the most optimistic Democrats here in D.C. do not expect that that will happen.
CBS News correspondent Stephen Portnoy. Thanks, Stephen.
You bet.
A lot more on politics coming up with Election Day, November 8th, so close, and many Americans already are casting their votes. We'll report on the big issues on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Revive. Let's explore Donald Trump's claim that there are irregularities, maybe even cheating, in America's election system. He's used the phrase, it's rigged. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is in Pennsylvania's biggest city seeking clarification.
Donald Trump's rigged election claims have focused on this city in particular.
I just hear such reports about Philadelphia, and we have to make sure we're protected, that the vote counts are 100%.
City Republican Chairman Joe DeFelice.
Do I think that there's a diabolical man twisting his mustache behind the scenes, rigging all the machines? No, I don't. But do I believe that it's happening? Yes. Do I believe it's happening in a decent amount? Yes.
In a neighborhood GOP campaign office here, volunteer Sarah Gray says,
elderly people have called, they got letters, they've been Republicans their whole life, and now they're getting registration cards that say they're Democrat.
Government and media investigations have not uncovered any widespread systematic vote tampering here.
The reality is we really don't have voter fraud in the city of Philadelphia.
That's what District Attorney Seth Williams insists, outside of a few scattered instances where people were prosecuted. With the nation watching, his elections task force is being deployed this year for the first time in a presidential race.
We'll have about 70 members of the District Attorney's office working from the time that polls open until they close.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Philadelphia.
We can follow up with CBS News Director of Elections Anthony Salvanto. Anthony, apparently among Trump supporters, there's not much belief in the integrity of our voting system.
One of the striking things we found, Dan, out of the more recent polls we did in Florida, was that three quarters of Republicans felt not only that there would be widespread voter fraud, but they felt that Donald Trump would likely win the election were it not for that fraud that they perceived. And I think that that does speak to a larger loss of faith in institutions that we have seen in, across many American institutions in the polling in recent years, where we've seen more and more folks feeling like things, the economy, the economic system, the political system, do not work as they used to or do not work specifically in their favor.
Trump and some other critics have pointed out that well over a million registered voters are in fact dead. No one removed their names from the voter rolls, or they're registered in the wrong state, even registered in two locations because they moved. So some mistakes are possible.
There is a difference between the individual error, the individual mistake, the individual shenanigans that could happen here and there, and something that has the sweeping power to change the expressed will of the people. And I think it is important to draw that distinction from the perspective of what we see when we look at vote counts. The second thing I would add there is take a look at the consistency with which counties vote. There are heavily Democratic counties. There are heavily Republican counties. And when you see that those places vote roughly the same way time after time, couple that with the decentralization, and you see that the overall system really doesn't vary all that much from year to year.
CBS News Director of Elections Anthony Salvanto now reports in our series Where They Stand, Trump's Opinions versus Clinton's. Let's begin with immigration.
I'm Stephen Portnoy.
We will be fair.
Donald Trump's immigration policy has one key feature.
We will build a great wall along the southern border.
He insists Mexico will pay for it. After suggesting he might have softened on illegal immigration, Trump in August stressed his hardline stance, especially toward those who've committed crimes.
Day one, my first hour in office, those people are gone.
Trump would call off the resettlement of Syrian refugees.
I always say, Trojan horse, watch what's going to happen, folks.
Hillary Clinton would take in 65,000 Syrian refugees and defend the Obama executive actions that have shielded millions of illegal immigrants from deportation.
I would not deport children. I do not want to deport family members either.
Clinton says she'd push for a path to citizenship.
I am staunchly in favor of comprehensive immigration reform and have been so over the course of my public career.
Where they stand. I'm Stephen Portnoy, CBS News.
Our next topic, competing economic plans.
This is Pam Coulter. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have very different plans to get the economy moving faster. Trump would cut income taxes, reducing seven brackets to five with a top rate of 33%, and corporate taxes.
We're reducing your taxes from 35% to 15%.
Clinton says taxes should go up for some.
Wall Street corporations and the super rich should finally pay their fair share of taxes.
She believes those making more than $1 million a year should pay an effective tax rate of 30%, with an additional 4% tax on those making over $5 million. Trump wants to do away with the estate tax while Clinton wants to raise it. As for government red tape,
I am going to cut regulations, massively.
Clinton would toughen the rules imposed after the Great Recession.
I think we should strengthen those rules so Wall Street can never wreck Main Street again.
Clinton wants to raise the minimum wage. Trump says it should be up to states. Where they stand, Pam Coulter, CBS News.
I did a report in this series on how the two major candidates view the world. Donald Trump says the world needs to know that for us, it's America first.
My foreign policy will always put the interests of the American people above all else.
But Hillary Clinton counters,
we are not a country that cowers behind walls. And if America doesn't lead, we leave a vacuum. And that will either cause chaos or other countries will rush in to fill the void.
She's proud of recent diplomacy.
We brought Iran to the table. We reached an agreement.
Trump rejects the claim Iran's been blocked from building nuclear weapons.
This is one of the worst deals ever made by any country in history.
Trump has also suggested Japan, South Korea, and Saudi Arabia should have nuclear weapons to defend themselves, and
nobody's afraid of our president. Nobody respects our president.
I went to 112 countries as your Secretary of State.
But Trump, at their first debate, declared,
Hillary has experience, but it's bad experience.
Our next topic, issues of race.
I'm Steve Futterman. From the day Donald Trump announced his candidacy, race has been an issue.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime.
Trump enraged many with his descriptions of Mexicans illegally entering the U.S. Hillary Clinton has attacked Trump for his comments.
What he has said about African Americans and Latinos, he's never apologized for.
On the issue of Syrian refugees, more disagreements. Trump says Clinton will allow a massive number of Syrians into the U.S. In the campaign's final months, Trump has tried to win over minorities.
What do you have to lose by trying, Trump?
He has suggested that those living in the inner city have been let down by Hillary Clinton.
She's been talking about the inner cities for 25 years. Nothing's going to ever happen.
Clinton has countered by saying that Trump would not welcome minorities.
A lot of people are worried that maybe they wouldn't have a place in Donald Trump's America.
I am the least racist person that you'll ever meet.
Where they stand, I'm Steve Futterman, CBS News.
We'll have more reports contrasting the very different policies of the two candidates when we continue on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business? It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, we're hearing reports in our series, Where They Stand, on the very different ideas and proposals made by the two major party candidates for president. Here's my report on the war on terror. Both candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, say they'll target ISIS, the group that controls territory in Iraq and Syria, while trying to send terrorists into Western countries.
I would bomb the hell out of ISIS.
Trump says it's vital to call the enemy radical Islamic terrorism. Clinton has used some of those words. She also says actions matter a lot more than words.
We should make it a top priority to hunt down the leader of ISIS, just as we did with Osama bin Laden.
And, she said, use diplomacy to change conditions in the Middle East that strengthened ISIS. Trump says as president, he'd immediately ask his generals
to present to me a plan within 30 days to defeat and destroy ISIS.
And when radicals are captured,
waterboarding is fine, but it's not nearly tough enough.
Trump says terrorists are stronger and Americans are not safe because of Obama-Clinton failures. Clinton says Trump would fail to work with U.S. allies to defeat terrorism. Our next topic, health care.
I'm Barry Bagnotto, CBS News.
Obamacare is going to be repealed and replaced.
Donald Trump pledges with what?
Well, it's hard to say because he hasn't given many specifics.
InsuranceQuotes.com's Laura Adams says other than he wants a private system with an individual coverage mandate and insurance sales across state lines.
When you get rid of the lines, it brings in competition.
Hillary Clinton just wants to fix what's wrong.
A heck of a lot better than starting from scratch.
She'd add a public insurance option and to ease the burden of the poor on Obamacare. Adams says
Clinton wants to expand Medicare by lowering the age of eligibility from 65 to 55.
The Democrat insists on free legal abortion.
Restrictions can be imposed as long as the life and health of the mother are taken into account.
Republican Trump wants states to decide, although when CBS's John Dickerson asked him if abortion is murder.
You don't disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with
it. He supports 6 weeks of paid maternity leave. Clinton wants 12 weeks. Both favor government relief for child care expenses. Barry Bagnotto, CBS News.
Barry also reported on where they stand on energy.
The two major candidates' different energy policies spring from their separate stances on climate change.
I believe climate change is real.
Global warming and that, a lot of it's a hoax. It's a hoax. I mean, it's a money-making industry, okay?
Democrat Hillary Clinton wants to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
We've got to move away from coal and all the other fossil fuels.
Limit drilling offshore and in the Arctic.
We should not risk potential catastrophes.
And focus on
clean, renewable energy and moving heaven and earth to provide tax incentives, financing.
Trump wants expanded U.S. oil, gas, and coal production.
I'm going to lift the restrictions on American energy.
That includes fracking, although he tells Denver's KUSA.
There's some areas maybe they don't want to have fracking, and that's up to them.
And unlike Clinton, he would instantly approve the Keystone XL pipeline.
But the people of the United States should be given a significant piece of the profits.
Barry Bagnotto, CBS News.
Our next topic, gun rights and gun control.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. Hillary Clinton wants to reinstate the assault weapons ban her husband signed into law.
We've got too many military-style weapons on the streets. In a lot of places, our police are outgunned.
Like most Democrats, Clinton supports expanding background checks to cover all online and gun show sales.
We need to keep guns out of the hands of those who will do harm. And we finally need to pass a prohibition on anyone who's on the terrorist watch list from being able to buy a gun in our country. If you're too dangerous to fly, you are too dangerous to buy a gun.
On that point, Donald Trump has signaled agreement, though aides say he'd insist on due process protections Democrats have rejected. Accepting the NRA's endorsement in May, Trump vowed he'd support the constitutional right to bear arms.
We're going
to
preserve it. We're going to cherish it. We're going to take care of it.
And he pledged,
we're getting rid of gun-free zones, okay? I can tell you.
Where they stand. I'm Stephen Portnoy, CBS News.
And now in our series, what we call gender issues.
I'm Peter King. Donald Trump answered this question about abortion last March.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
There has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
He later walked back those comments made on MSNBC, but says he's against abortion except in cases of rape, incest, and danger to the mother's life. Trump has said he'd look into overturning Roe v. Wade. Hillary Clinton is pro-choice.
Women should determine our own lives and futures.
And while Trump wants to defund Planned Parenthood, Clinton told the organization's Action Fund meeting in June.
As president, I will always have your back.
This Clinton ad features same-sex couples.
That is why gay rights are human rights, and human rights are gay rights.
Trump hasn't given strong positions on LGBT issues, although he says he believes in traditional marriage. On transgender people in restrooms, he told ABC's Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, the party generally believes that whatever you're born, that's the bathroom you use.
Well, okay. What about you?
Me, I say let the states decide.
Where they stand. I'm Peter King, CBS News.
The 10th and final report in our series, Where They Stand, is about education.
This is Pam Coulter. A strong backer of public education, Hillary Clinton supports universal preschool, higher pay for teachers, and debt-free college for students.
We can get the resources that our schools and our educators deserve and need to succeed.
Donald Trump wants merit pay for teachers and end to the national standards known as Common Core and school choice.
Parents will be able to send their kids to the desired public, private, or even religious school of their choice.
Saying education's big problem is the federal government, Trump would make big cuts there.
You have a Department of Education that is totally out of control, massive costs.
Clinton says it has an important role to play.
It provides support for vital programs from pre-K to Pell Grants.
A supporter of Common Core, Clinton has criticized the way it's been implemented. Where they stand, Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Now baseball, the final games of the 2016 season. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has gotten the plum assignment covering the World Series, the Chicago Cubs versus the Cleveland Indians, the longest empty spell without a crown in the major leagues. Here's Steve's report from Cleveland on the morning before Game 1 this past Tuesday.
The players and managers know all about the history. Cleveland manager Terry Francona couldn't care less.
I know that's a really cool thing for fans to talk about. It really doesn't enter into what we're doing.
The Cubs' Ben Zobrist knows the anxiety of Cub fans.
We understand the importance of it, and we're doing what we can to do it for them.
One player with emotional ties to both these droughts is Cleveland second baseman Jason Kipnis. He grew up in Chicago as a diehard Cub fan. Now he is with the Indians.
Regardless of the outcome, one of these streaks gets snapped.
But in the end, Chicago manager Joe Maddon says neither history nor curses will decide this year's series.
This game is always about players. If your guys play better than their guys, you win.
Steve Futterman, CBS News at the World Series in Cleveland.
That report from this past Tuesday. TV ratings were higher than expected, leading some to say that baseball is back in fashion. Please follow us on Twitter for the very latest at CBS Radio News. And I'm at Dan Raviv on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Raviv. Back to politics after the FBI Director James Comey informed Congress that the FBI is looking at some newly discovered emails, something to do with Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. Almost 4 months after Comey said investigators decided no one should be prosecuted, Donald Trump commented,
"This was a grave miscarriage of justice that the American people fully understood, and it is everybody's hope that it is about to be corrected."
Also, Trump has continued to speak about a rigged system that might produce a rigged election. On CBS This Morning, his running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, explained to co-anchors Gayle King and Nora O'Donnell.
I think when Donald Trump talks about a rigged election, I think, you know, with all due respect, it's been documented. I mean, the level of negative coverage about my running mate in many quarters in the national media has just been overwhelming compared with any negative coverage of the, or frankly, the avalanche of scandals coming out of Hillary Clinton's years as
Secretary of State. But in the history of the country, the chances of a rigged election are so very rare.
My point is, I think he talks about the media, it seems to many Americans, is trying to rig the election in a way that favors Hillary Clinton. It seems like they do half her work for her every day.
Why did you go to Utah?
I was making a Western swing and really delivering a message while we've attracted.
That's a state that should be kind of in the safe column and in the last 2 weeks of the campaign. I mean, it's your time is valuable. Does that suggest that this campaign is more difficult for you in some of these states that you had not predicted?
Well, I think, as you know, there's a unique situation in Utah. We're leading
the third-party
candidate.
Yeah.
But my message this week, Donald Trump's message as well, is not only do we need to win the White House, but we need to reelect Republican majorities in the House and Senate to do those things. My message is, with all the support we're getting from independents, from the support we're getting from many Democrats, now it's time for Republicans to come home. I know we went through a 17-way primary. I watched it from afar. Still some divisions within our Republican ranks. My message in Utah was to say it's time for Republicans to come home, to elect Donald Trump as president, reelect a Republican Congress, and make sure Hillary Clinton's never elected president of the United States.
Mike Pence speaking Friday morning on CBS, just hours after his campaign plane slid off a rain-soaked runway at New York's LaGuardia Airport. Luckily, no one was injured. CBS's Don Daler reported from the scene.
Anthony Rizzuto witnessed the rough landing.
I was sitting in the vehicle, and I heard a noise. I didn't know what it was. I looked up, and I saw this Trump-Pence plane making a noise, screeching, and it came to a stop right here. I knew something was wrong because you never hear that kind of noise. I'm here every day. You never hear that.
The incident may have been worse if not for a crushable concrete called an engineered material arresting system.
Arrestor beds are FAA-required installations at the end of runways to do exactly the purpose that they serve tonight, which is to slow down an aircraft that is approaching the end of the runway.
That's Pat Foy, executive director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey.
A Senate campaign debate in Illinois made headlines Thursday night. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
My family has served.
A double amputee whose helicopter was blown out of the sky over Iraq, Tammy Duckworth says she'd be especially cautious in authorizing the use of force.
Families like mine are the ones that bleed first.
Duckworth traces her lineage to the Revolution. GOP incumbent Mark Kirk responded.
I had forgotten that your parents came all the way from Thailand to serve George Washington.
An awkward silence followed as Duckworth stared into the audience. While her mother immigrated from Thailand, her father was a U.S. Army captain who was buried in Arlington. Democrats called Kirk's remark offensive and racist. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Mark Kirk later tweeted his sincere apologies to Duckworth, calling her an American hero. In the wars against ISIS, first Iraq, CBS's Holly Williams is with Iraqi, Kurdish, and U.S. forces pushing toward the large city Mosul, recapturing some of the suburbs.
The Iraqi military told us they'd liberated the town of Hamdaniya, but we arrived to find the streets still ringing with gunfire. In some places, ISIS has launched surprise attacks, even after Iraqi forces think they're in control. And these troops now shoot at anything that moves. Lieutenant General Riyad Jalal Taufik insisted that his soldiers were only fighting small pockets of resistance.
That sounds like quite a lot of resistance, I have to tell you.
No, he said, this is the military way. They're just clearing the area. In Hamdaniya, these Christian militiamen have come back to help secure their town. One of them is Hussam Salim, who told us he kissed the ground when he returned the night before and vowed to rebuild. Thank God we're back, he told us. Even if I die here now, it doesn't matter. Holly Williams, CBS News, Hamdaniya, near Mosul.
In Syria, while ISIS holds territory, other rebels are hard hit in the city of Aleppo. On Friday, CBS's Larry Miller reported from London.
Syrian rebels have launched a counterattack on government-controlled western Aleppo. The offensive is designed to end the government siege in the eastern sector of that devastated city. The British-based monitoring group, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, says rebels outside the city fired hundreds of missiles into the west, killing at least 15 civilians. Car bombs were detonated, and a military airport was targeted. Larry Miller, CBS News.
Russia announced that for now, its air force has stopped bombing targets in Aleppo. Russia supports Syria's government in the civil war that began almost 6 years ago. In North Dakota, a protest against an oil pipeline was quite a wild scene on Thursday. 141 people were arrested. CBS's Barry Peterson was there.
The whole world's watching you, Nazis.
It was tough and it was tense as police moved forward to take over makeshift camps and protesters were detained. Police had billy clubs, mace, and weapons. In the middle of it all, activist Wiaka Eagleman struggled to keep the peace.
And you can win against all of this.
No, I'm not saying we're going to win, but it's going to be a tough battle spiritually.
Neither side shows any sign of giving in. Barry Peterson, CBS News, near Cannonball, North Dakota.
Now male birth control, injections that can reduce sperm count by an estimated 96%. CBS's Jim Taylor reports.
It works. A male hormonal contraceptive. World Health Organization studies shows injections effective in 96% of continuing users. Why has this taken so long? Dr. Jamil Brombatz, Orlando Health.
Either there's not been a significant interest from the pharmaceutical industry, or regulating fertility in a guy is a lot more difficult.
Sorry to report that Bobby V has died. He was a teen idol in the 1960s. That's him singing Devil or Angel. He did oldies shows until 5 years ago when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Bobby V, his real name Robert Valine, died at age 73. When we come back, we'll report the death of a political activist and consider congressional districts a Republican advantage on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
Get the latest information when you want it. Download the CBS Radio News app, either on iOS or Android. You also get great features, breaking news, and access to the CBS Radio News Twitter and Facebook feeds. Learn about your world while you take care of all the things you need to take care of. It's perfect for the gym, running errands, or doing chores around the house. CBS Radio News. Get it in the Apple App Store or Google Play today.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Revive. Tom Hayden, a famous protester, then politician in California, has died after falling ill at the Democratic Party convention in Philadelphia in July. We have more from CBS's Jim Taylor.
The whole world was watching the riots outside the 1968 Democratic convention in Chicago. Activist Tom Hayden, a leader of those protests and a member of the notorious Chicago Seven, defendants in a conspiracy trial from that rioting. At a 1969 rally in the tear gas-filled streets of Berkeley.
This little community of Berkeley must be unified, must be invincible.
Also known for his marriage to fellow anti-war activist, actress Jane Fonda, Tom Hayden was 76. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
In this year's election campaign, as we look at the battleground states where Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have spent a lot of time, CBS's Weijia Jiang visited voters in Pennsylvania, starting with the city of Philadelphia, considered firmly in the Clinton column.
At this Philadelphia farmers market, diehard Democrats crave the chance to cast their ballots.
Very passionate. I'll be out there as soon as the polls open.
In 2008, 83% of the vote in this city went to President Obama, 85% in 2012. Clinton hopes the same turnout will help her clinch the state's 20 electoral votes.
Hillary is the one that's going to make the world go around. At least we'll have Medicare. She would make the best president. She's been in the politics in there, you know, for some years now. He just got in. You know, in the way he talked, he don't know anything. He don't need to be a president no more than me.
But as the cityscapes fade along the Pennsylvania Turnpike, so does Clinton's staunch support, while signs of Donald Trump territory emerge. We met Mark Mazaris at a Johnstown steel mill turned scrapyard where he works.
25 years ago, this place was making wheels and stuff, you know, metal and all that. Now it's ghost.
It's a ghost town.
Yeah.
The steel industry employed about 18,000 people here at its peak in the 1950s. Foreign competition and new technology wiped out those jobs, and the community has yet to recover. Mazaris thinks Trump can change that.
At least he wants to try to bring jobs back to America instead of shipping them out and letting them build stuff overseas.
JWF Industries is one of the few steel factories still operating in town. CEO Bill Palachek says his workers believe Trump will protect U.S. manufacturing.
How many of your employees are registered Democrats?
Roughly 75% are registered Democrats.
And how many of them are voting for Donald Trump?
It's about 90%. He's not a politician, so nobody's in his back pocket per se. He doesn't have special interest groups that are going to guide what he's going to do.
A loyal base has helped the Democrats win Pennsylvania since 1992. But many voters told us this year they're looking at the candidate, not the party.
Now a second chance to hear an interview that shows how hard it is for Democrats to try to capture a majority in the House of Representatives. It's not just about electing a president on November 8th. There are plenty of interesting races down ballot, as experts on politics put it. Up for grabs, about one-third of the seats in the Senate and every seat in the House of Representatives. To capture a majority in the House, Democrats would need a net gain of 30 seats this November. Let's turn to David Daley, a journalist who believes that's very unlikely to happen, though the Democrats may capture a majority in the Senate, not in the House, because of what your book reveals. It has a vulgar title. I'll call it Rat-Effed. It's about distorting congressional elections. David Daley, why do you believe the Republicans are likely to keep their House majority?
Politicians have gerrymandered since the beginning of the
country. It goes all the way back to 1790. But what the Republicans managed to do in 2010 and in 2011 was an entirely new version of gerrymandering.
And just to be clear, gerrymandering generally refers to how the congressional districts are drawn. You can actually change the lines, keep certain neighborhoods in this guy's district, in that woman's district. And the Republicans, you're saying, got really intelligent about it. How? Computers? Algorithms? How?
All of that. Every 10 years, the lines have to be redrawn. It's been a great way to get revenge on your political enemies. But what the Republicans managed to do was to lock in a firewall in the House of Representatives for the next decade. What they did was they focused on state house elections nationwide. They flipped legislative chambers across the country, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, even blue and purple states. And then they drew, with the help of amazing new technologies and computer programs, districts that simply can't be beaten. And in 2012, the first election run on these new maps, Democrats get 1.4 million more votes than Republicans nationwide. Republicans hold the House of Representatives 234-201.
So even the most optimistic Democrats you're hearing, do they think they can gain 30 in the House?
There are Democrats who will say they can, but they can not. Even those Democrats who optimistically look at the gains they made in 2006 and in 2008 are not recognizing that the maps that they're running on this year have been tilted way more aggressively in the other direction. It would take a victory of probably 10, 12, 13 million votes, which is unprecedented in an era of hardened partisanship, for the House to turn.
The redrawing of the districts is done in state legislatures. Is it like the Democrats don't realize what hit them when the Republicans figured out all those state chambers?
The Republicans had the imagination and the vision to pull this off, and the Democrats still thought that they were living in a different era of gerrymandering. The Republicans announced what they were going to do on the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal. Karl Rove wrote a piece saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take back the House and build a firewall there through redistricting, and we're going to do it by winning state legislatures. The Democrats whistled past the graveyard. They committed a catastrophic strategic failure, and it has cost them dearly throughout the last decade, and it can't be overturned until 2021.
Step one was to win control of state legislatures, but step two is then somehow have a national map, a national effort to go to each state capital and tell the Republican allies, here are the lines you ought to draw. And I guess Washington's wisdom was accepted.
Republican operatives figured out how to cram as many Democrats as they could into as few seats as possible in most of these states, meaning they took the surrounding districts for themselves. So you see states like Pennsylvania, 13-5 Republican, even though it's a blue state. A state like Michigan, 9-5 Republican, even though it's a blue state.
All of this told in this book that I'll gently call Rat Effed, which is by David Daley. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It'll all be decided on Election Day. That's just 1 week from this coming Tuesday. We'll have full coverage on the radio, also on our app for your smartphone. The free app is CBS Radio News. On our app, you'll also find previous editions of The Weekend Roundup, produced at CBS News in Washington by Howard Arenstein. I'm Dan Revive. Have a great week.